Well, welcome to the Potential Leader Lab podcast. My name is Perry Moffmer, and I am very happy to be here with you. Today, we're going to talk about what a growth mindset really looks like. And I guess I'll share with you what I found, and I heard this story before from the author James Clear, who wrote Atomic Habits. I watched him be interviewed by Ryan Hawk with the Learning Leaders podcast. And Ryan asked him about the book, and he said, he asked him about, you know, how it played out. And James said he would run into people all the time who would come to him and ask him questions about habits, thinking he was the, you know, he was the expert. Like he had it all figured out and he knew all the answers and he had all of his habits nailed and his life was perfect. And James responded and said, actually, I wrote the book for me. He said, I needed the book. That's what I find is that people write books that they need. And I guess that really resonated with me. And I heard somebody else the other day say, we don't do research, we do me search. And that really is when I do the podcast, when I write stuff on LinkedIn, when I do my newsletter, typically it's stuff that I need to read. It's stuff that means something to me, there's some area in my life that I think it will help. And when I share it, my hope is that it helps other people. It really isn't about, hey, this is something that I'm better at or I'm great at or I figured out and you should listen to me. It's far different from that. It's really, this is stuff I'm working on and I'm just sharing it with everybody else. And if you'd like to work on it too with me, awesome. You know, that's the way this goes. So I just kind of wanted to set that up because the whole thing about growth mindset is recently I've done some research and came to find out that although I professed to have a growth mindset, I had convinced myself I had a growth mindset. I actually didn't. And that was a little, I don't know, jarring, I guess you could say, for me to sit with that and really look at the way I behaved versus the way I thought I behaved. And when I really dug into it, I think that you know, I can give you the example of I do a lot of meetings with folks. I facilitate a number of types of meetings, and we always do a plus delta at the end. We always do this exercise where I ask people, you know, what went well, what could we do better? And then we'll do a scaling exercise like 1 to 10, how do you rate the meeting? And routinely, I would find myself getting anxious and sometimes even angry if people would give me something lower than an 8 out of 10. And I reflect on that in the context of a growth mindset and go, well, wait a minute. Those two things don't go together. Because if somebody does give a 6 out of 10, then somebody with a growth mindset would go, well, that's an opportunity. What can I do differently? What can I learn? How do I get better? And so, you know, I think and this kind of brought to my mind, you know, Chris Iyeris's model of espouse theory and theory in use. You know, he had this concept that most organizations and people have those two things, espouse theory and theory in use, which is my espouse theory is what I tell you I want to do or what I tell you I believe, and my theory in use is what I do. And that I was right there. You know, I had quite honestly fooled myself and I believe a lot of other people in the process of thinking, oh, Perry is a lifelong learner. He's always putting himself out there, he's always doing new things. And some of that's true, but they were always things that I was certain of. In fact, I can tell you, I would avoid doing lots of things that I didn't know how to do because I would think that if I didn't know how to do it, I'd end up looking foolish. And again, you know, I look retrospectively at all this and it makes sense because I often used to ask people, do you love to win or hate to lose? And people would, you know, they'd think about it, they'd give a response. And I was always in the camp that I hated to lose. I didn't dislike winning, but I hated losing. Again, if I reflect on that in the context of a growth mindset, you know, Carol Dweck's work, that doesn't work real well. Because if I hate to lose, then it's not that I would love losing if I had a growth mindset, but I would treat it as an opportunity. And so what really spurred all of this learning on for me was a book by Amy Edmondson I just read called The Right Kind of Wrong, The Science of Failing Well. And there was a line in there, you know, it's a regular, you know, couple hundred pages, but there's this one line that says, in a growth mindset, failure is an inevitability. And so you know, again, I stopped and thought, how many times am I seeking failure? Am I actually embracing failure? Am I looking for failure? Am I enjoying failure? Because failure, again, in my mind as a growth mindset, would indicate opportunity. And I can tell you, quite honestly, didn't like it, didn't seek it out, didn't feel good about it. None of those things really stuck in my head as things that I did well. And so it really brought back to me. I saw there was a therapist I saw about 30 years ago. And she said to me, and I remember this word for word, and literally it was probably 30 years ago. You have created such a tight box to live in, there is no room to be human. And humans make mistakes, so therefore, A equals B equals C, no room to be human, humans make mistakes, no room for mistakes. Now, all of us are, you know, a culmination at some point of how we're brought up and how we're raised and the influences that we had as a child and as a young adult. And then those things get kind of, I guess, cemented in place at some point. And we kind of settle into those behaviors that maybe worked for us as a child. And we never, oftentimes, don't revisit them and see if they work as well for us as adults. And the other part of this is there's learning and there's knowing. And I think for me, before this all happened recently, before I started thinking about all this, I was really more comfortable and excited about knowing than I was learning. And they're not the same thing. You know, knowing is different. Knowing is knowing, right? Learning is, I think I know, but I may not know. And whatever I learn today, I might learn something different tomorrow. But once I know something, to me, that kind of stops the process. Because once I know, I know. And so I don't have to think about it anymore. I'm good at that thing. I know that thing, whatever that might be. And that was the challenge, right? That was really the challenge for me, because I had to really question everything that I had thought I knew about me. And that was part of a growth mindset in my mind. Now, this just happened. This happened over the last 4 to 6 weeks. I started reading the book about 6 weeks ago. I just came back from some time away with Lisa and finished it there and really let it kind of settle in. And it's had a cascading effect on a lot of things that I'm doing, on the way I approach my work, on the way I approach the way I think, on the way I approach the future. And so I am putting myself in positions to do things that are uncomfortable, that I don't know how to do. I'm not trying to create a transformation or fundamentally, you know, change overnight, but I do want to be cognizant of those things, because I do want to learn, and I do want to have a growth mindset. Not only do I want to think that I have one, I want to actually have one. I don't want to tell people I have one. I want them to see that I have one. I do want to seek out failure. I do want to embrace the opportunities that come with it, the growth opportunities. Because if I'm never failing, I'm not growing. In at least that's my opinion right now. If I can't look back and say these things weren't good, I didn't know how to do them, I got better at them, or if I'm only doing the things I'm good at, and that's the real danger of success, I think. And if you think about the more successful you become, the less you need to know. And what I mean by that is there's an old saying that in the beginner's mind, there are many options. In an expert's mind, there are few. And so one of the things that success breeds in us is confidence. And it also narrows down our field of right and wrong. Because after a while, especially if we're in any subject matter expertise, if we're in sales or accounting, or, you know, if we're a technician of some sort, doesn't really matter. If we have deep subject matter expertise in anything and we've done it for a long time, the danger we have is we get narrowed down to, we already know what works. We know what to do. We know what's right, what's wrong. And that's the challenging part for all of us, because once we start closing that down, once we start closing off options and we have these things that work all the time, then we're less likely to learn. Now, the flip side of that is it can be really tiresome to do the other thing, to constantly question everything. I realize that. So there is some discernment and judgment involved in this. But the reality is every one of us has to figure out for ourselves what that mix is. You know, when should we question things? When should we seek out failure? When did that work, but it might not work again? Or maybe there's something that works differently or better that we just need to try. Because maybe the thing that we've done the past 3, 4, 6, 12, 15 years, maybe there's nothing wrong with it, or maybe there's something out there that would be better not just for us, but for other people around us. But the shift from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset is pretty substantial, because I was operating under a fixed mindset for, I'm not going to say exclusively, and I don't think, by the way, I've never been a big fan of binary statements, you know, you're either one or the other. So I don't believe that's true. I believe we have probably a primary, if we look at fixed and growth mindset, we probably have a primary operating system and then one that we use less frequently, depending on parts of our lives. And it was interesting because I had a speaker at Invistage years ago, and he was talking about risk. And he broke down risk in a number of different categories. And it was really kind of enlightening for the people in the group, because he asked them, and I'm not going to get all the categories right, but he said, you know, I want you to list down these words: emotional, spiritual, financial, career, you know, all of these different things. And he goes, now think about your risk profile in each of those areas. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much risk are you willing to take in certain areas? And physical risk was on there. You know, there was all, and what people found out is there was a lot of variance for them. In some areas, they were very adaptive to risk, and in others, they were not. And I think that's the thing for all of us. We can't just say we're in a growth mindset arbitrarily about everything in our life. I think it's really great to get a little granular in certain situations and think about, where can I embrace a growth mindset that's beneficial? And you start with lower risk. And that's okay. Like, again, we're not trying to boil the ocean here. You know, most of us, you know, I'm 57 years old. It took me 57 years to get here. I'm not going to change it in 6 months. Nor should I want to. I'm working with a number of companies right now. And it is amazing, because I do think we tremendously overestimate what we can do in a year, and we underestimate what we could do in 10 years. And one of my favorite sayings lately is based on a book written, I think he was either a Franciscan monk, or he might just have been a man of faith, and I forget his name, but the book, which I'll never forget the title because I say it all the time, is A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And I believe that's what a growth mindset is. It's a long obedience in the same direction. Because if we want to grow, that's a process, not an event. That's something we commit to, not something that happens overnight. There are no hacks. There's no shortcuts, nor should we seek them out. Most of the most meaningful things in life just take as long as they take. And this one, we're kind of chasing the vanishing point, you know, that imaginary point where the road and the horizon come together is called the vanishing point. And that's what we're after. We're just marching in that direction. We're never going to get there, nor should we seek to get there. It's just a long road. And that's okay, because the journey is what matters, right? It isn't getting anywhere that matters. And it's really not about goals. It's about who we become as we pursue the goal that really has value for us. You know, Cervantes said, the journey is the end. And he was right. You know, if you think about it from a metaphysical standpoint, we don't want to get to the end too quickly. Once we get to the end and we stop, you know, biology tells us once something stops growing, it starts dying. And there's a lot of implications here, both from a fitness standpoint, from a physical fitness, an emotional fitness, cognitive fitness. And all these things, it's a, you know, from a systems perspective, they all connect. And there's tons of research now that show that, you know, your mind, your brain, I'm not going to call it your mind, we'll get into the brain-mind thing differently, but the brain and the body are connected, and and if one stays fit, the other will stay fit. You can't choose one or the other because they're interconnected. They feed on each other. And so we have to put the work forth if we want to maintain our fitness. You know, it isn't lifespan, it's health span. Right? You don't just want to live a long time. You want to live a fit life. And when I say fit, I'm not just talking about physically fit. I'm not talking about doing, you know, I'm not talking about doing high intensity training or running marathon. I'm talking about just staying fit and staying fit cognitively. And that means learning. The best thing you can do is learn new things. That's the best thing you can do for your brain, is to continually learn new things. Move those, you know, create new connections in your brain, because that's what the physiological side of learning, that's what it is. You're connecting synapses that weren't connected before. That takes effort. It's actually very simple, right? So you have neurons in your brain, and the synapse is the space between them. And then what happens is an electrical charge, when you connect two neurons, an electrical charge fires, and then they're connected by a synapse, and it's overlaid by myelin, which is a fatty tissue. So what happens is, the more you repeat anything, the more you learn about something, the more you cement that in your brain, the thicker that fatty tissue gets, that myelin sheath, which enables the electric impulse to travel faster from neuron to neuron. That's how things you develop, we'll just refer to it as muscle memory. That's how you recall things, is if that path is traveled frequently, that myelin sheath gets really thick, which enables the quick transmission of the electric impulse from neuron to neuron. And so if you continue to do that and build those things, your brain stays healthier. Now, you want to keep your brain really healthy? Drink enough water, get plenty of sleep. It's not rocket science. Stay fit. Keep your body moving. All of these things, when I think of a growth mindset, all of these things play into this. It's not just your brain we're talking about. It's not just your approach to life. If it is overall kind of your strategy, then all of these things matter. You know, how do you maintain your fitness in all of these areas? I ask the folks I work with every month. I'm like, okay, I want you to tell me about your fitness in these three areas. That's where we start: your physical fitness, your cognitive fitness, your emotional fitness. Give yourself a score on 1 to 10, how you're doing in those three categories. That's where we start. Then we move into relationships. How are your relationships with your family? How are your relationships with your friends? And how are your relationships with all those that you care deeply about? Then we move into performance after that. How's your performance in your role in your organization? How's your team's performance? How's your organization's performance? And we answer those questions separately because they can be different. Somebody might have, you know, great relationships at home, and maybe they're not paying enough attention to people outside of their home. Maybe they've let their friends network kind of shrivel up. So unless we think about it at a granular level, we just lump everything together and go, oh, we're good. Are we? And for me, that's what a growth mindset's about. A growth mindset's about stepping back and understanding, what does that mean? And if I have a growth mindset, it isn't just about how I approach things mentally. It's how I approach life. Am I growing in all of these aspects of my life? Am I growing emotionally? Am I growing spiritually? Am I growing financially? Am I growing physically? Are all of these things, how often, you know, the thing I ask myself is, when's the last time I did something for the first time? I always want to have an answer of that within the past 30 days. I want to be able to say I did something that I never did before. Now, this is not, by the way, this is not like bucket list crap that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about these huge things. I'm talking about just something new. Learn a musical instrument. Learn a language. You know, something you can do on your own, low risk, low cost. But just push yourself into a different direction to learn. Take up chess. Anything. Doesn't matter. You know, just do something new. Put yourself out in a new area, because it's going to put you in contact with new people and extend your network. And by the way, this is what, you know, research tells us, that that's the primary impact on our brain's health. One of them is the strength of our relationships. Are we socially engaged? Do we talk to other humans? And what frequency do we do that with? And by the way, I'll tell you, in my opinion, it gets harder as you get older. You watch kindergartners, they make friends really easy. They just run up to each other and start talking. You get to be an adult and suddenly you're trying to think your way through that. It ain't easy. How do you meet new people? Yeah, it's awkward because there's risk involved. Back to a growth mindset. Failure is an inevitability. Now, the way I look at it and the way I've kind of taken it to, for me is I don't fail. I just get data points. You know, I either learn something or I get data points. I don't fail. It's like I think it was Edison said, I've never failed. I've just discovered 9,999 ways not to make a light bulb. Those are all data points. So, you know, failure is relative. And it is important. Language is meaningful. Words matter. And ultimately, the words we talked about to ourselves matter tremendously. The way we talk to ourselves matters tremendously. Because for most of us, I know for me, I can't speak to anybody else, but I know for me and I know for my wife, I can speak for my wife because we have this conversation. If the voice in my head were a person, I would not be friends with him for very long. Because he does not speak to me very well. He's not always looking at the upside of everything. He spends most of his time catastrophizing. So, to wrap it up, growth mindset. Think about it. That's all. There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. Just think about when's the last time you did something for the first time, and what can you do? Not what can't you do, what can you do? One of my favorite John Wooden quotes. There's always something you can do. Play a board game. Take up, if you used to play chess as a kid, pick that back up. If you played a musical instrument and you've stopped for 20 years, go back and pick that up. Try something new. Go someplace new. Talk to people that you don't talk to normally. Do anything to keep yourself sharp. And nothing is failure. It's just data. It's just find 9,999 ways to not do something. It's not failing, it's learning. Well, until next time, I hope you have a great week, month. Who knows the next time we'll talk? But if you join back in, I'll see you next time here in the lab.